Good morning. Hope everyone's doing real well. Appreciate the words on my behalf and Brother Junior in his prayer. Feel very strongly that we should all pray for each other at all times. I feel like there's a lot of power in prayer that we often neglect because we are not diligent in our own prayer lives. There's a lot of power that we can have in prayer, praying for each other. We'll pray for each other daily, and I appreciate that very much. Today, the topic of our lesson is building. One of the concepts that I think we all understand is that the church is us. It's not a building. It's not the pulpit. It's not the communion table. It's us, and we take it with us wherever we go. And I hope we all understand that just as we're having this service right here, right now in this building, we can have it just as easily out in the parking lot or at somebody's home or down at the lake or at a state park, because where we go, that's where the church is. The church is us. Today I want us to talk about the construction of this building. So I want us to turn our minds to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and follow along, because our whole lesson is going to wrap itself right around this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 6 through 16. Building. Paul says here in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man that buildeth take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? All right, a lot about building here in this passage. Let's take note of a few things. In verses 6 through 8, Paul notes that we are laborers together under God. We are laborers with God. That's an important thing. I want you to always remember that. When it comes time to pray for each other, remember what this verse tells us. We are laborers together with God. He also mentions that every man will receive the reward for his labor. Now, whether we think of ourselves as laborers in God's vineyard or not, he considers us as laborers. We may not think of ourselves as preachers or someone who takes a role in church, but he considers everyone a laborer. Verse 9 emphasizes that we are the building. That's something we've already talked about. This verse says, ye are God's building. Look at verse 10. He says here, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Notice he did not say, let everyone that buildeth take heed how he builds. That's not what he said. He said, let everyone take heed how he buildeth. In other words, everybody pay attention to what you're doing, because all the time we are building. Verse 12. And this is perhaps the deepest and richest verse of all in this text. Gold, silver, and precious stones. He says these things. He says, if any man build those things, and then he says some other stuff. Gold, silver, and precious stones. These were things that were valuable. They're valuable now. They were valuable then. They were things that were used in adorning the temple back under the old law. They were things that were rare, things that the people treasured. And they were things that would not be consumed by fire. Wood, hay, stubble, cheap. It was available. Everybody could get their hands on it. They used it to build shacks and huts and the buildings. And these things would go up in smoke in a hurry if they caught on fire. Okay? So we have a contrast here. If any man builds gold and silver and precious stones versus wood, hay, or stubble. And then he says, that's going to be tried by fire. Verses 13 and verse 14 says, whatever we do privately is going to be made known public in the day of judgment. However we build, if we build with gold or if we build with hay, it's going to be made public in the day of judgment. Now verses 14 and 15 together give us something that perhaps we don't think about a lot. Listen closely to what he says here. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he himself shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What's he talking about? I think that this verse tells us that when it comes to judgment, it's not all about ourselves. You know, sometimes we think when it comes to judgment, we're going to stand there and all that's going to be in the balance is us. That's it. And while it is true to a point, there is a reward out there for us for the people that we help. If we help someone come to Christ and that person is saved in the day of judgment, and that person does not go into hell, that person is with us there, our reward is greater. If we try to help somebody and that person is lost, we don't lose our reward, but our reward is not as full as it would have been. And that is what is contained right here in these two verses. If a man's work shall be burned, he's not going to be lost. But he's going to be saved, yet so as by fire. His reward will not be as full. So friends, there's a lot about church life. There's a lot about our spiritual life that perhaps we don't think about. Are we building today with gold and with silver and with precious stones? Or are we building with wood and with hay and with stubble? Let's consider three different ways that we build in our life. Let's talk about the personal side. Let's talk about me. Let's talk about us as individuals. Now, what we've said so far, we've said that building really involves other people, doesn't it? The church is us, we've said. But before we can be someone that can help another person to grow, we've got to be growing ourselves. How many lessons have you heard about studying? How many times have you heard 2 Timothy 2:15 quoted? How many times have we given lessons? How many times have I given lessons about knowledge and about wisdom? A lot. We know about this stuff. We know the importance of it. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23, we're not going to read this whole passage. But here we have the parable of the sower. This is the story that Jesus tells, and the sower throws out seed, and some of it falls on stony places. And then some of it goes in places where there's thorns, and it's choked out. And some falls on places where there's birds, and it gobbles it up. And then there's some that comes on to good ground, and that brings forth fruit. I want us to look down toward the end of this passage. And let's read verse 23. We know this story. Let's not read it. Let's just read verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Okay? That's That's good. We understand that part. Listen close to what comes next. Which also bears fruit. So it's not just that we receive the word and we understand it, but something comes up. There's more. And bring it forth some and hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Some folks are going to bear more fruit than others. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what you think about this story. I think that this story represents stages in people's lives that we all can possibly go through. I think that every one of us in this room is one of these phases of ground that Jesus described. Either we're the thorny ground, and we've got so much going on in our lives that's worldly that it chokes out our chance of being spiritual. Either that, or we're shallow ground, and we don't devote ourselves to God's Word so that the spiritual spark that's in us can have something to thrive upon. Or either we're not paying attention at all, and when the seed comes and it's thrown in our hearts, we don't pay attention to it, and Satan comes and just takes it away from us, and it's gone. Either with one of those bad things, or hopefully, brethren, we're all this good ground, and we're growing. Hopefully we're that. I believe that we can change the kind of ground we are by our mental attitude, by our thinking. But when it comes to this good ground, there is distinction made between bearing a lot of fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. You know, we don't think about that too much, do we? A lot of times we think just about number one, taking care of number one. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. What was it we read about a second ago? Gold, silver, precious stones. What is gold and silver and precious stones in our lives? What is that? How do we do that? Well, perhaps gold and silver and precious stones in our personal lives is our own dedication to discipline, study, prayer, meditation upon God's Word, fasting, even giving of our means to help others. Perhaps that is building with gold. What's this wood and hay and stubble? What are those things? You know, we've indicated that's not good. What are those things in our personal lives? In our personal lives, that may be a bad attitude when it comes to worship. When it comes to going to church because of something that happened and somebody did something and we take on this whole bad attitude about worshiping God. It could be that we don't fully place God first in our lives. What was it that Jesus told, what was it that Jesus said was the greatest of the commandments when he was asked? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the first and most important thing for us to do, is to put God first in our lives. Maybe building with hay is that we've got something else in front of God. Maybe it's that we neglect our time, which is our most valuable and most precious resource when it comes to giving ourselves to study or giving ourselves to visiting or making a phone call. Maybe that is building with hay in our personal lives. But you know what? I believe that however we build in our personal lives, I believe that will show up some way or another. For you brethren who are leaders here in this congregation, for you who from time to time stand behind this box, how you build in your own life personally, how you build with your own study, will show in the kind of lessons that we give. For those of you who lead prayer, the way we're able to word our prayer will show in our lives are showing that. We can't expect to build with hay and with wood and with stubble in our personal lives and then get here in an assembly and build with gold and with silver as we give our lessons and as we lead in prayer and as we make comments from time to time. We can't do that. For those of us who are committed to personal work and trying to reach out to others, if we're not committed ourselves personally to trying to be close to God, then as we try to go out and visit with somebody, well, first of all, we probably won't because we're not committed. So we're not being able to help that person and bring them comfort the way we could if we were as committed as we need to be. Personally, building with gold and with silver and with precious stones is something we need to commit ourselves to. And if we continue to neglect our lives and our time, then without thinking about it, we build with wood and with hay and with stubble. Alright, that's personal. What about families? What about our family connections and our family ties? How can we build how can we build with gold and silver and our families? I think the answer to that is one that's obvious, and I think that you all know what I'm going to say. I think that it's in our families we commit ourselves to living by the principles that are outlined in God's Word. I think that's building with gold. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husbands. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. These things are building with gold. Day in and day out, it is how we do it. We commit to putting God first in our own personal lives and God first in our family lives. And that is building with gold. Neglecting these principles for weeks, for months, for years, without thinking, we build, because we're all building all the time, without even thinking about it, we build with wood and with hay and with stubble, because we're neglecting what God would have us to do. Now, I'm not a father. I want to be. I'm not a father, but I know how my father raised me. And I know how he treated Brad and I. Now, folks that have children, and I know hopefully one day I'll be among you, when we live our lives, and we neglect the early years of our children's lives, and we neglect teaching them and building the foundation of loving God and serving God in our children's early lives, we build with wood and with hay in their lives because they miss a foundation of trusting God and depending on God and leaning on God that will carry them through their teenage years and carry them into their early 20s and their early adulthood, all based on what happened when they were young. What was the principle that God gave us? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we neglect that opportunity to train, we can't train once our kids get to be in their teenage years. It's too late then. I don't have children, and I'm not speaking from experience, but my wife's a teacher, and I've worked with a good bit of kids in different areas. Once kids get up into their teenage years, sometimes we can't direct them anymore, even though we've tried. If we teach our children and our families about God in the way he described, and the way he described about this is when you're in your home, when you're out walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, that's the Old Testament passage about how we should try to teach our children about God. If we teach our children about God in that way, friends, then we build with gold in their lives. Our congregation. What about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, I want to tell you about this part first. This passage that we've read today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 16. Some suggest that this passage deals with truth. They suggest that this passage deals with spiritual truth, and that building with gold is teaching truth, and building with wood and hay is teaching things that's not true. I think that this is an idea that maybe it is applicable, and I think it's something that we can all understand. Certainly we can see that a congregation, and let's not try to put ours here on the stand, but let's just say a congregation anywhere. A congregation anywhere could have the correct biblical principle and foundation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as what it builds upon. But then either directly or indirectly, teach things that would lead its members to commit sin and to fall into error spiritually. And we know that that's not what God wants. We understand that truth will stand forever, and the congregations that embrace that fully are congregations that will stand. But friends and brethren, I want you to know that I, and I know you also, know that truth alone does not build a congregation. A congregation can have everything right, and now we've all seen it. In our lifetimes, we've seen it. Why is that? A congregation can have everything right and still somehow build with wood and hay, and down the road, their congregation goes away, disappears. How do we build with gold and with silver and with precious stones in our congregation, in our spiritual brotherhood, and our spiritual sisterhood? Well, there's several things that I think that we need to be aware of, several things I think we need to consider. Let's consider the strength of our example. And let's consider the individuals that we can be, have a strong example with, and individuals that we can't. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of a traveling preacher who comes through and gives a week's revival. And during that revival, someone believes the gospel and is baptized. And then after that week, that preacher leaves and is gone and doesn't come back to the area for 4 or 5 years. Now, did that preacher have influence on that person? Yes, they did. Is that influence the same as a Christian man has on his son? No, it's not. Why? Because day in and day out, that Christian man, that Christian father, lives in front of his son. Day in and day out, he lives. And that son sees how he lives in situations that are pertinent to that son's life. That preacher came through, and in 1 week, he potentially changed this young man's life, but then he left, and he was no longer influenced. So who can we have influence on? You know, sometimes we see each other once a week. We can't have a tremendous impact on each other once a week. We have a lot of impact on the people we see day in and day out. I want you to consider this scenario. The great-grandfather has got a certain amount of influence over the grandfather. The grandfather has a certain amount of influence over the father. And the father has a certain amount of influence over the son. Okay? But the great-grandfather cannot have the same amount of influence over the son as the father has over the son. And that makes sense to all of us, right? It does. There's certain people that we just cannot expect to change their lives without getting close to them. We can't. We can preach to them. I can stand here and preach to you today, and I hope that I have some influence over your life, but I realize and recognize that we are together perhaps once a month for an hour. I know that even though I'm standing here and I'm following instructions that God gave us, and it was suitable to God that we should do preaching to teach, I also know that there are people in your life that can have way more impact on you than I can. We've got to understand that because our congregations depend on us. If we're going to influence people and try to bring them and draw them close to God, then we've got to spend time with them. And it's not the role of the folks that stand behind this little wooden box to do all of that. Can we have influence by people that are distanced from us? Can we be influenced by our relatives from days gone by? Am I influenced by my great-grandfathers who were church members? Yes. Am I influenced by other preachers? Are you influenced by other preachers? Yes. But do you see how we have more influence over the people we are close to? If we realize it, then we need to take advantage of it and build with gold in that relationship. And don't be neglecting time building with wood and with hay. We got to realize in the same light that we as a congregation are connected spiritually with other brethren in other places. We need to realize that. And we need to realize that we have influence on the other churches here in Randolph County. We do. And we may never realize, because we're not one of these folks that are an outsider. Here we are right here within Randolph County, these congregations. We know the strength that there is here. For folks that are at a congregation that are out isolated, and they don't have another congregation of believers of like faith that are close by, and they hear and know about these seven or eight congregations that are right here within a 15-mile radius, they are inspired by this. They wonder, how did this happen? How come there's churches down there that all believe the same thing and worship the same way, and they all go and meet together, and there's so much strength right there? How is it that that's that way? They see us as an example. Can we have influence over them? Yes. Can we build with gold in their lives by letting our light shine here at the congregation? We can strive to. What is it that helps us to bear fruit? Now, we said just a minute ago that truth is great and it's necessary, but that does not necessarily mean that we're going to bear fruit as a congregation. We need to. But bearing fruit as a congregation involves a lot of different factors. It involves the leadership of that congregation, that leadership being committed to excellence, that leadership being committed to equipping the saints for ministry, equipping the brethren and sisters for whatever they need in their lives so that they can overcome the problems that they face. That involves them teaching and being diligent and providing a lot of biblical background to their congregation. But it also involves the attitude of the members. You know, if we as a congregation come to services and we're not committed to worship, and if we'd rather be somewhere else, then we can't bear fruit. We won't bear fruit in that way. We won't bear fruit as a congregation in that way. If we are dedicated to spiritual growth, if we're dedicated to praying for each other, then we can grow and we will bear fruit. So there's several things that all combine to how we build in our congregation. Let's reflect about something we said a minute ago. Gold, silver, precious stones, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Have you ever heard someone say, I just want to make it? You know, I just want to make it. That's what I want to do. I just want to make it. Hope I make it in heaven. I want to make it. I just want to make it. We've heard people say that. And some people say that and they mean well and they're speaking very humbly that they don't want Jesus to give them any more than just to let them in the door. And that's an honorable thing to say. But some people say that because they want to do just enough to squeak by and make it in. I can't say that I think that that's the attitude that Christians should have. In fact, I don't know that I can say that that's an attitude that is Christian-like at all. Because we've got so many instructions, so many exhortations to be diligent and to try to bear fruit. You know, do we settle that we're going to build with precious stones or 30-fold? Is that what we want to do? You know, Jesus said back there in the parable that the good ground brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. He didn't say 15. He didn't say 0. He didn't say that. He said some brought forth 30. Do we settle to that? You know, Jesus, all I want to do is you know, try to bear 30-fold precious stones. Do we say, okay, I'm going to do more. I'm going to try to, you know, silver. I'm going to go for silver. I'm going to bear 60-fold. Or do we strive and commit ourselves in our hearts and in our minds to say, God, you blessed me beyond anything I can imagine. My sins are so great that there's no way that I could overcome this sin that's been in my life. And I know you've forgiven me. And I know that you don't see that sin in my past anymore. And I know that you've given me strength to continue to grow spiritually and become more and more like your Son. And I want to do as much as I can to help others to enjoy this peace. Do we strive for goals? What are we building with today? That's a question for you. Now, the issue is not, are we building? We are building. Young men, Are you striving in your lives to build with gold in your own personal setting, in your own dedication to God, your own prayer life? Are you striving for that now? Leaders of the church, are we striving to build with gold in our lessons and in our prayers and in our commitment to serving and trying to lead this congregation? You sisters, are you striving to build with gold in your hearts so that when opportunities of service come available to you, you are not only ready but willing with the right attitude to serve? How are we building today? Consider these thoughts. Please take them with you. Think about them. And I hope that we will all find ourselves committed to gold and silver and precious stones. Today we offer a song of invitation. We offer an opportunity for us, for our members, and for the people that are here in this audience today. We offer an opportunity to come to Christ. Jesus offers us a way for escape. Sin stands between us and God. It separates us from God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. The way we do that is through repenting of our sins, confessing His name that we believe in Him, and through baptism. And it's in our lives we realize that we've been building with something other than gold and silver and precious stones. We need to make things right. And we want to ask for the prayers of the church for you. And we have that opportunity as well. As together we stand and as we come.